We're in studio.
Yes, we are.
Alan Thurston again and Jake Ebel again. Here we are.
And
we have some guests.
Two new guests. We're changing the drift here. Hallie Goodman.
Hi.
Hi, Hallie.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Who is a writer and a mover and shaker here in Hudson. And Debbie Mayer, who is known to WGXC listeners through many programs that she's on.
Hello. Yes, Carol Osterink, who writes Gossip of Rivertown, said earlier today, she called me the Alan Shartok of WGXC.
Nice. Not too shabby, Deb.
Over to you, Ellen.
Well, I did want to point out that Debbie is usually on programs that are more political than this one. We try not to be into that realm, to step on the toes of other programmers. But
yeah, yesterday on At Issue, we had to run the disclaimer twice.
Debbie's pretty wild.
The disclaimer being?
Well, that the views and opinions expressed on this station are not those necessarily those of the board and the rest of the people having to do with WGXC.
Right. I did want to point out to our listeners that they can, in the archives now, find several programs. One, At Issue, which is the first sort of debate or conversation between our two mayoral candidates here.
And
oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't on At Issue. It was on Something to Talk About. Sorry.
It's a lot to stay on top of.
It is.
It's a lot.
Things keep shifting here.
Yes.
And on, now which program is this? On At Issue, I'll let you tell us who was on the program.
Okay, yesterday's At Issue show, which is archived at WGXC.org, was the DA show. And we had Democratic candidate Ken Golden, who's running for DA, on, and also Peter Bujano, who chairs the Columbia County Democrats, and we were all talking about the DA race. That was yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and today we're here to talk about writing and writers and readings. And I just wanted to point out that there seems to be a plethora. If I don't often use that word. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Good usage.
A plethora of...
I'm glad you saved it up.
...of readings going on. It's partly because of Arts Walk, and there's a program called Arts Walk Literary 2015, which is being curated by Karen Schomer, who is also a programmer at WGXC. And she could not be with us today, so here we are with other people who know about such things, two writers, Hallie and Debbie, both of whom not only write, but read, I'm sure, and
accurate.
Read for the public. So, Hallie, tell us what you're doing at Spotty Dog.
Well, I've started a new reading and music series, and it kicks off this Saturday night at Spotty Dog. It's at 7 o'clock. And I have three really, really talented readers. And then afterwards, a DJ is going to kick in so that my goal is it's going to help the nerds mingle, myself included. Because at the end of a reading, everybody tends to, like, silently stare at each other and then walk out. And I really, my goal with this is, you know, to sort of create a little bit more of a feeling of community. So I'd like people to hang out.
Great. That sounds like a good idea.
Well, thanks.
And there are refreshments at the Spotty Dog.
There are refreshments at the Spotty Dog. They have lovely beer. They have beautiful books. So you'll spend an hour being read to by some really wonderful authors. And you can, while you're there, you can brainstorm like the next five books you want to buy so that you don't have to order them late at night. You can just let Spotty Dog know if they're not already in stock. They're happy to order things for you, and then mm-hmm. they just show up in the store. You can pick them up later in the week.
Right.
Cool.
Would you like me to go on and talk about the readers, or should we come back to that?
Sure.
Yeah, go.
Okay.
Yeah,
let's
go for it.
I'll tell you just a teeny bit. We have Melissa Phoebos, who is the author of the memoir Whip Smart. Her work has appeared in the Kenyon Review, Prairie Schooner, Glamour, Post Road, Salon, New York Times, Descent, Bitch Magazine, and elsewhere. And I will say, before I go on to my next writer, she got two essays this year on the Notables list of the best American essays of 2014. So she's winning a lot of awards lately, and she's tons of fun to hear read. Then we have Christopher Funkhauser, who is a multimedia artist, musician, and writer. He is the author of the books Prehistoric Digital Poetry and Archaeology of Forms and New Directions in Digital Poetry, as well as several chapbooks. So he's really a pioneer in this digital poetry form, which I don't know much about. He's written a couple of the really important books on it. And he's a really interesting guy, local guy. He has had some really big commissions, like creating digital poetry for the Obama inauguration. Yeah, and so I don't know. I'm really looking forward to see what he does. Then we have Mark Allen, who's also local. He's Catskill. Mark Allen has contributed to the New York Times, NPR's All Things Considered, The Huffington Post, The All, 429, and Vice. Mark's first film, Sock Job, is currently in production. And then following that, we're going to have DJ Andy French. That's my pitch, girls.
Wow. And what time does it start?
It's at 7. And the reading will last from 7 to 8, and then we're going to do a half an hour with the DJ. We may continue it if it looks like people want to stay, but...
This is a little sidebar, but I've noticed that programs are beginning earlier in the evening in Hudson. I don't know why that is, but programs at the Opera House now, instead of being at 8, seem to be at 7, which is, I don't know, it's always a toss-up. Do you eat dinner before you go, or do you eat dinner
That
afterwards?
Is the big question.
Yeah.
So for me, I think a 7 o'clock event is great, because I want to eat afterward. Although Hudson is kind of an early town. But, you know, readings are kind of classically early. In the city, it was mostly because that's the only way you could get booked. You book a reading before they start all their musical acts in the night. So here, you know, we had a lot more flexibility, but 7 just sounds like a really ideal time to me.
I think it's great. And are all these people local? You said Mark French is from Catskill.
Mark Allen is from Catskill, yeah. And Christopher Funkhauser lives a little bit further down, between like Red Hook and Rhinebeck.
Uh-huh.
And Melissa lives in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
That's another reason that 7 is good, because I can get writers from the city, and they're going to be able to make trains home,
right.
And they're going to be able to hang out, have dinner with us, and still get on a train.
Mm-hmm. Very smart.
Yes. Well, why are there so many readings suddenly happening? It seems to me they're much more popular than they were during the summer. You made some reference to books coming out at this time of year? Or?
Yeah, well, I have a couple of theories. I mean, first of all, I just think this isn't particular to the seasonality, but I think there are a lot of writers up here, and I think more are coming all the time. You know, a lot of people move up here because they're specifically looking for creative space, you know, and that's part of what appeals so much about being up here. And I think writers want there to be a community where they live, you know, so these kind of events are really, really welcome. And I also think, and back to the season, I do think like this time of year is kind of really fun, because this is like the summer is, people are traveling. They all just want to do things outdoors. They're just kind of cooking out with their family and stuff. And honestly, our social lives kind of kick in around this time in Hudson. I think it's like time to go to events, time to have a bunch of dinner parties. It's cozy time. I'm pretty stoked. What do you think, Deb?
I think that's a good theory. I hadn't really thought about it. But yeah, it's a good time to do things. Because if you do events in the summer, people, yeah, they might stay at the pond or something.
Mm-hmm.
They don't come. Yeah. So this is terrific, a new series in town. I wonder if did you want it during Arts Walk? Or was
that... No, and actually, you know what? I only talked about it as if it were a one-time event. So let me explain that we're actually going to be there on the second Saturday of every month.
Oh, cool.
And we have we're booked right now through, I think we're just booking January now.
That's great. So, oh, you got to tell people that.
So yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. So yeah. It was a complete coincidence that it kicked off right at this time where there's quite a bit of, I guess, competition, but not really. Because if you think about it, all of these things are just luckily at staggered times.
Yes.
So I was like, hey, you know, stay hydrated. You can go to a whole bunch of literary events, kids.
That's a great idea.
The Opera House has started a series, too. Mm-hmm. I think it's on Sundays. I'm not sure. Sundays are a popular time.
This one's on Saturday.
It is, but it's earlier than mine.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And let's talk. So let's talk just a little bit about what Debbie's doing, because she's reading the next day. You're reading this Sunday, right? I'd like to hear about what you're reading and where it'll be.
Yeah, the readings for Arts Walk are on both the literary programs for Arts Walk. I hope I'm not stealing your thunder, Ellen.
No, not at all.
They start on Friday, October 9th, which is tomorrow, and they start with Bernadette Meyer, she may say it correctly, which would be Meyer, a poetry reading and a panel discussion at TSL, 434 Columbia Street, Hudson, New York, 7 p.m. See that? It is free, as I'm sure your program is free.
Mine is free.
Yeah.
Right. Save your money for books and beer.
Exactly. So this is quite something. I'm going to lean down now and get the Arts Walk brochure. So there's going to be a little bit of dead air here. Hang on.
Thank you
okay,
for
let it be known, Debbie.
Let
Debbie
it be known. Good,
is
good
reaching
call.
Down. She's got the book in her hand. Here she comes. She's coming up
quick.
For air. All right. We'll be
it
back.
It went
in
well.
A moment.
She's back.
Hold on. Hold the phone. I mean, hold the microphone. Don't touch the dial.
Don't touch the dial. Whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
She's a booklet. I mean, the title of this program is interesting, and I wanted to get it correct. I Put My Hand Inside the Lion's Mouth, a tribute to the poetry of Bernadette Meyer. It celebrates, I'm reading because I don't necessarily know all details of this, work of the famed avant-gardist and member of the New York School, with a special reading by Bernadette Meyer and a panel discussion featuring Leanne Brown of Tender Buttons Press, Sam Truitt of Station Hill Press, and another poet, Brenda Kultas. So, Ellen, you must remember Bernadette Meyer when she was young in the 70s. No? She's shaking her head. Oh, I remember her. In New York, she was a big deal. And now she recently received she's a Guggenheim Fellowship, which is very nice.
Indeed.
Yeah, and I'm sure she deserves it after all these years. I mean, this is a person about my age, which means she's ancient.
Please. You worked for Poets and Writers when you were in New York, so I think you were much more in touch with all kinds of poets than I ever was.
Okay. I did. I was one of the first employees of Poets and Writers Incorporated.
That's so cool.
Thank you. When they first started. And the first program that we had was supporting readings and workshops in New York State so that writers could earn a little money from, you know, the results of their writing. And it proved very successful. And in fact, we who are reading through Arts Walk are getting a little payment through Poets and Writers.
Fantastic.
Yes. It is.
You should know about that program.
Yes, you should. I'll tell you more about it.
All right. We'll talk after.
Yes. Okay. Then Saturday it starts at noon with Andrea Klein and Melissa Holbrook Pearson. And I'm very interested in them. A lot of these people are new to me, which is great. I love discovering new writers. Andrea Klein lives in Clawbrook. And she has her debut novel, Calf, is coming out, like, right now. Okay, so she'll probably be reading from that. Melissa Holbrook Pearson is already the author of 5 works of nonfiction, including The Secret History of Kindness.
Nice.
I like that.
That's
title.
A great
so
title.
I chose that one, yeah. And so they go on, let's see, 12 to 1:30, and then at about 1:45, Joseph Luzzi comes on. He's the author of a memoir, My Two Italies.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice. He teaches at Bard College. I know him vaguely from when I worked at Bard College. And then he's reading in a pair with Wesley Brown, who's local. He's the author of 3 novels, Tragic Magic, Dark Town Stutters, Push Comes to Shove. And Karen has these readings all organized so that each writer reads for a little while, and then there's a Q&A, and Karen is there to run things, you know. Man, you go a minute over your time, they drag you off the stage.
She's great at that.
Yeah.
I did a little book event with her, and it was wonderful.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
She's great.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, then at 3:30, D.W. Gibson, who is a guy, comes on, and he is the author of The Edge Becomes the Center, an oral history of gentrification in the 21st century, which has to do with Brooklyn. And then he's paired with Lynn Tillman, a novelist, short story writer, and critic of some renown. Her latest novel is American Genius, a comedy. So they go on until 5 o'clock. And that takes care of your Saturday afternoon. It kind of takes care of mine, I have to tell you. Because I am interested in all those people. And so then, yeah, you hydrate and you go to the Spotty Dog at 7 o'clock. And we've heard about the program that Holly's organized. And then at some point, you try to get a little rest.
Because, do some stretching.
Yes, yes. Because then on Sunday, October 11th, the readings for Arts Walks start again at noon. I don't know who's going to come to my reading at noon on a Sunday.
You reading?
I am going to read. I am reading with Dan Regan. I have to give a little explanation here. Dan Regan is the author of, I want to get the Tales from Thurman's Corners, which he says is a fictional memoir. So we decided it would be an interesting program, I hope you all agree, if we both read fictional memoirs. So he's going to read from his book, and I've decided, and I alerted Karen to this, that I'm not going to read from my memoir, which is Riptides and called Riptides and Solaces Unforeseen, which is not fictional. Mm-hmm. It's a report. I'm going to read a piece that I thought of it as a short story, but really, it's a memoir as fiction. If you'll just let me reach into my bag again.
All right, I'm going to talk it through. She's okay. Bending.
Oh, God.
It's going to be all right. She's so nearby.
Oh,
okay,
that was
here
quick.
We are.
Yeah, and I'm sorry about the squeaking. I have the squeaking chair. And Ellen said I could read the first 2 paragraphs of this piece.
Or right on.
More, if you'd like. Oh, well.
Or even more.
Really?
Yeah, we got plenty of time.
We got plenty of
plenty
time.
Of plenty of time.
I'll see. I'll start with the first 2. So the piece is called Swerve, and it starts like this. You decide on the jade earrings, the ones you bought in Hong Kong last fall. They're set in gold studs, and you seldom wear gold, but the earrings themselves are small ovals of a soft, creamy green, a spring green that echoes the pale green of your dress hoodie. Appropriate for the Friday of Memorial Day weekend in an office on a college campus. You've put the hoodie on over your new white t-shirt and a pair of ancient lightweight pants, dark green, witty pants patterned not with flowers but with tiny wooden chairs. Downstairs you call to the dog, who is allowed to come to the office with you. The dog is tired of coming to the office with you and runs away. And for a second, you think about leaving her home. But the house is still new to both of you. You moved here almost exactly 2 months ago, and the dog will be happy once she gets to the office. So you remind her, again, that it's Friday, the last day of work before a 3-day weekend, during which she will not have to get into the car if she doesn't want to. You talk often to the dog, who has an intelligent, fox-like face, so that she and you will hear a voice in the house. How you doing?
I'm with you.
Doing good. Still here.
I'm still here.
Okay, I'll read two more paragraphs. I'm looking for a good ending. Okay, so then, you call a coworker and leave him a message that you are departing now at 8:15, but you have a couple of necessary errands to do on the way to work and probably will not be in until 9:30. The first stop is the post office, where you buy 40 postcard stamps and put them on the last of the open house invitations that you're mailing. This process pleases you. Seeing once more the names of the people that you hope will come to your new home in June, and the invitation itself, which was designed by a friend. Again, a sample of the wit of your world, with photos that show you and the dog, the car and the house. Everything you have, really, all of which fits onto one postcard.
Awesome.
Thank you. That's a good stopping place. See, if you come to the reading on Sunday, you'll hear the rest of it.
I think I have read that story or heard you read it before, perhaps.
Well, you might have read it because I put it on my blog. I read it at the Rojan Library, but I don't think you were there. That's the only place I've read it.
I did read it. Debbie has a blog, and on the... first of all, she put some of her writing on it, but now she's actually writing a book and revealing it one chapter at a time, which I think is a very brave act, because I don't know if she knows where it's going, whether she makes an outline or, you know, the writer's process is not known to me. I encourage people to go and hear the rest of this story. Doesn't it make you want to hear more?
Definitely. And can I also say you're just such an awesome reader? There are so many writers that, you know, you just love. And I mean, it might sound really trite, but, you know, they're not all great readers. Sometimes it's like
pulling teeth.
Sometimes it can ruin the book for you for a little while until you get back into your imaginary you know, voice as you're reading it.
Right. You know, the other part of the readings is always people are selling their books mm-hmm. and signing them. Books
right.
will be available
for purchase
and signing. I don't know how many times I've written that in my list. But it's a good thing, I think. I mean, it does help to publicize the writer and...
Yeah, I mean... Yes. So at Spotty Dog, you know, we have a variety of writers. And sometimes they maybe write a lot online or, you know, in more periodicals. So not always will they have a book available. In this case, I know Melissa is going to have books available. And I'm not sure about Christopher, but maybe... and so it's going to vary from time to time, but definitely they're available for signing. And I don't know, honestly, I just think it's kind of part of us being good literary citizens. It's like, if you love books and you love writers, buy the dang book, go to the reading.
Yes.
Tell people when you love their work, hang around, you know, just be generous to other artists there. That's my, speech for the night.
Well, you know, you talk about building a community of writers.
Mm-hmm.
There was, and maybe there still are, writing groups around.
Right.
And I heard of this writing group. This was years ago. And it was, I was going to say it was in Bob Meckling's, his house, and Bob and Monica Meckling. And it was a group of writers, and somehow I fancied, as some... Many people think, you know, everybody's a writer, really. Everybody has a story to tell. And the impulse to write is there sometimes. So I decided to go. And I think I did not go back, because I was, like, in awe of these people.
Right.
There are writers all over the place. And you don't think of them as writers, and they're maybe not published, but... some of these people were really, it was really interesting. They let me come back even though I wasn't a writer. But
I would let you be in my book, my writing group also, Ellen.
Okay.
I had one for a while here. But, yeah, and it's something I may want to do again. It was just a lot organizationally for one person to keep up because I was just being a cheerleader for all of it. If I did it again, I would kind of want a partner in the mm-hmm. organizing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really rewarding while it lasted.
You know, speaking of community again, Peter Barton, who's a visual artist, years ago, I've been here for 20 years, so this must have been, say, 25 years ago, he started a kind of group of visual artists who would get together because visual artists work in a studio all alone.
Right.
Writers work all alone,
right.
too. But, and many, maybe most artists do, not dancers or theater people. That's a whole different story. Though there is a playwriting group that meets at the Opera House on Sundays, I think once a month.
That's cool.
And they give little readings or performances, you know, reading from the scripts once in a while. But where was this leading? Oh, so Peter Barton started this group, and then at a certain point he asked, would the Opera House do it when the Opera House was first open, which was in 1997, I think, something like that, at its present location. Anyway, so, and I, as a board member, I took it over, and it was really, it was a great group because people loved getting together, mm-hmm. looking at each other's work, talking about the process and everything. And then it stopped at a certain point, sort of wound down. And then it started up again this year.
Really?
Christine Hales started. It's a potluck.
I was just going to bring that up. I thought it was a separate issue, but that's really cool.
And all kinds of artists.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it is very well attended and very successful.
That's great.
People seem to love it.
I can't tell, though. Is it visual artists, or would it include writers?
Writers are included.
Yeah.
And I haven't attended, but I have heard a lot about it. You can sign up to present.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure at this point, you know, you'll need to wait, and there's going to be a little time limit so mm-hmm. that you don't hold everybody hostage. But basically, you show up, everybody's having dinner, getting to meet each other, again, creating a sense of community. And then also to just talk about what you're doing with your current work. I mean, that's really great. And it's also good practice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When
you are, you know, finally in a meeting with a gallerist or with an agent, the way you talk about yourself is, you know, that's a skill.
Yeah. So, Hallie, do you do readings of your work?
I have. I haven't in a while. I am working on new stuff. I'm back in school. And so I'm really kind of writing a lot of really bad stuff right now. So I think everybody's probably pretty happy that I'm not asking them to sit there and listen to it. But I'm trying to get somewhere new. You know, I'm trying to learn skills that I don't really have yet.
Do you write fiction or poetry?
What I'm writing right now is memoir. And in the past, what I've read has been basically like memoir, short essays. So I really have not done any fiction. But I'm exploring that a little bit and exploring just sort of going there to make things, just to get to a place where things are a lot more descriptive than stories you've been telling over and over and over. You kind of need to get out of that and get into a weird creative space to, like, remember things you didn't remember. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's like you write around it. That's what I'm trying right now. So you're lucky. Maybe I'll corner you someday and make you listen, Ellen, but for now, no.
Oh, dear. Well.
Oh, dear. That's a perfect response.
Not to get more prosaic, but can I finish the list of the Sunday readers?
It seems
only fair to them. At 1:45, after Dan Regan and me, at 1:45 is Sonia Pilser, who lives in Copake and who's the author of a new novel, The Last Hotel, a novel in suites. And Daniel Marcus, who's the author of the novel Selected Episodes Related to the Life of Vladimir Danilovich Mukist, Deceased. So they read, and then at 3:30, oh dear, I'm going to mutilate this name, comes Carl Skogard, who trained as a musicologist and worked for many years as an editor and translator. He's been on the staff of Nest magazine, and he's been translating autobiographically oriented writers of Walter Benjamin. So that interests me, I have to tell you. And then he's translated something else from the Swedish, and my God, he just does a lot. He's really busy. He's got a great bio. And then he's on the program with Robert Kelly, the poet, who also teaches at Bard, whom I know vaguely from Bard, and he'll be reading, I'm sure, from new poetry. And that's it. I think then you can go home and collapse, because I don't think there are any readings.
Sounds good.
Yeah, on Sunday night.
What's happening Sunday night?
Well, I don't know. Let me look here. I just wanted to tell you about a few other readings that are going on. Tonight at 6 o'clock, there is, this reading is part of a bigger program, but I think it's interesting. I was telling you about it earlier, Debbie.
Right.
The meeting at 6 o'clock is about the Victory Bus Project, which provides fresh, organic produce and transportation for urban families whose loved ones are incarcerated in upstate prisons.
Mm.
And Natasha Bowens is a writer, photographer, farmer, and food justice activist, and author of the blog Brown Girl Farming, and she's going to be signing and reading and selling her new book. It doesn't say she's going to read from it, but so maybe I misrepresented this, but I'm sure she's going to talk about it. It's called The Color of Food, Stories of Race, Resilience, and Farming. And that is tonight at 6 o'clock at the Kite's Nest, because the man who runs the bus project is a teacher at, or an educator, I think they call their teachers, at Kite's Nest.
And where is that
Kite's
Nest?
Kite's Nest is down at the Basilica. It's part of the Basilica building, the little shorter part. I was going to say one-story building, I guess I call it. That's at the left when you're standing in front of the building. There's so much arts walk stuff here that you have to sift through it to find it. The Opera House is on Saturday at 3 o'clock. So
I think there's time for a nap in between.
Yeah.
Well,
you have to go home to do that, I think. Maybe.
I can't advise.
There are two writers, Mary Caponegro and George Coultis.
Coultis.
I'm not even going there. Whatever you say goes.
Okay. It's part of a reading series curated by Thomas Panitz, a graduate of Bard College, and the co-editor of the Doris magazine. Mary Caponegro is the author of the Star Cafe, Five Doubts, The Complexities of Intimacy, and All Fall Down, among other collections of short fiction. She's the recipient of the Rome Prize in Literature, among other awards, and teaches literature and writing at Bard College. George Quasha, artist, poet, and musician, is a Guggenheim Fellow who's written 20 books, in addition to the influential poetry anthology, America, A Prophecy. Woo! These people are really prolific, aren't they? Now, let me just find the next one. Oh, that's Arts Walk, too. Arts Walk is all over the place. It's a good thing. Okay, on Sunday... No, next Tuesday.
Oh, why not?
Oh, this may interest you. Catherine Alto, author and landscape designer, will discuss her new book, The Natural World of Winnie the Pooh. The setting for one of Winnie the Pooh's adventures was inspired by the Ashdown Forest, a wildlife haven that spans more than 6,000 acres in southeast England. Alto's book explores how this magical place moved both A.A. Milne and E.H. Shepherd to create the cherished tales that remain not only relevant but wildly popular today. And that is at the library. It's at 7 o'clock.
Oh, that's at the Hudson Library?
At the Hudson Area Library.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm sorry. It's at the Spotty Dog.
What?
At 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Something else is happening at the library. They have sort of history series, and sometimes it involves writers who are reading from their books. Well, what more can one say? That's a lot to absorb.
It certainly is. I have a lot to go home and think about now.
Yeah. I think we all need a nap. Do you go out as far as Wednesday on this show?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, because the library's program is Gutter Snipe.
Oh, that's right.
On the Wednesday the 14th, a social history of the American street child.
Yeah. Whoa, that sounds so interesting.
It does. It looks really interesting.
Oh, wow.
Hudson Area Library, 400 State Street, at 6:30 p.m., a little bit early. And the author is Christina Gibson, speaking about her book.
Thank you very much for telling me about it. I will look into attending that.
I love the word gutter snipe.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
And this is like all those kids from Annie. They all seem to be from the same vintage. That could be really... Now we call them homeless. We don't call street kids gutter snipes.
Well, if you look at the picture of them, those of you who aren't seeing us on television can't see.
And really, you're being robbed.
Really. But some of these kids don't look real healthy in this photo.
Oh,
I hate to tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure it's, you know, it's probably pretty gritty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Ellen?
Yes?
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, thank you.
It's always a pleasure. You definitely have your finger on the pulse.
I love the fact that you're real conversationalists and I don't have to, like, keep talking the entire time.
Oh, yeah, you're the best that way, though. Sit next to me at a party anytime.
Okay, folks. That's it, I think, for this segment of the program.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you.
Bye, and
thank you,
again.
Guys.